por amore. Toma vina ke dayalu jagat samsare. Patita pavana hetu tavavatara mosama patita prabhu napaibhya patita. Aha Prabhu Nityananda Premananda Sukhi Kipa Balo Kanna Koro Ami Bara Dukhi. Daya kora sita pati advaita gosha Papa kripa bale pa chaitanya nita. Aha Swarup Sanatana Rupa Raghunatha Patayuga Shijiva Ha Prabhu Lokana. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Sanjaya Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vinda. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chanda Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Dvaita Chanda Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Chanda Chi Jaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're just going to repeat one of the verses that we just sang. If you could repeat after me. Daya karasita pati advaita goshai. Tavakripa bale pai chaitanya nitai. So the meaning of this is, my dear Advaita Prabhu, husband of Sita, you are so kind. Please be kind to me. If you are kind to me, naturally, Lord Chaitanya Nityananda will also be kind to me. So this kindness has been distributed by Lord Chaitanya and his associates, the Panchatattva. And we can see here that that kindness comes from the most kind person, that's Advaita Acharya, who called the Lord to come and to save us, to deliver the fallen souls of which we're all unfortunately identified as. But now we've become the most fortunate, so we should praise Advaita Acharya. Usually we think of him just as the bearded one on the Panchatattva, kind of old, maybe fatherly, grandfatherly, and maybe even a little bit fanatical. Sometimes he's a bit fanatical. But he has, there's some background to him. Actually, it goes way back, thousands and thousands of years ago, when Lord Shiva could see that Kali Yuga was setting in, and some difficult times were coming. So he discussed with Yogamaya for some time what to do about this. And she finally decided that only Krishna can take care of this. So you should go to Mahavishnu and on the causal ocean and ask him what to do, find some solution. So Lord Shiva, five-headed Shiva, went and he meditated for 700 years. And then the Lord came in his presence and said, "Oh, my dear Lord Shiva, you're so wonderful. What is going on here?" And Mahavishnu said that actually, you know, that Shiva, that you and I are actually the same. We have different bodies, but we're the same. And then Lord Shiva began to offer prayers, beautiful prayers, indescribable prayers to glorify Lord Narayan. And then they embraced. And at that moment when they embraced, a beautiful form, golden, shining golden, chanting Krishna, 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 appeared. And then all of a sudden there was a voice in the sky that said, "Mahavishnu, you are now going to take birth in the womb of Labha. And I will come later and take birth amongst Jagannath, Mishra, and Sachi Devi. And together we will help deliver all these fallen souls." So therefore, the Lord Mahavishnu, when it entered Labha's womb, and this is the wife, a very chaste wife of Kuvera Pandit. Kuvera Pandit lived as a pundit to the king. He was quite well-to-do. And he had many children, but they all died. And then finally he went to a very sacred place where he could realize that now his wife was pregnant. And so they went back to the kingdom and told the king that this great, you know, they finally were going to have a child. And so then when the child was born, they named him Kamalaksha. This is Advaita Acharya, Kamalaksha. And he was an exceptional person, of course. Everyone fell in love with him. And then he, one day, Labha was sitting with the child on the lap, and she fell asleep and had a dream. And she dreamt that this person on his lap was actually the Lord, pale in complexion, beautiful, dressed gorgeously, all decorated. And so she bowed down to the child on the lap and said, I want the water that has bathed your lotus feet. And then the child, Kamalaksha, said, "You're my mother. You know, I can't, you know, you can't bow down to me, and I can't give you the water that's washed my feet." And so she, but he said, but I can call all the Tirthas from all over to come, and you can bathe in the water of the Jamuna, Ganga, so many different things. And so then, Pundarika can always help me with this if you like, the story. And so then she said, this is not possible, you can't do that. If you can, then my goodness, then I'll actually believe that you're the Supreme Lord. So she woke up, and Kamalaksha said, actually, you'll see. It'll happen. I will call all these Tirthas. So she woke up and she said, boy, what a dream. And astrologically, the last dream that you have is supposed to come true. I hope mine don't come true once I have. Anyway, so she was in the child said, what dream did you have? What kind of dream? Tell me all about it. Oh, no, you won't understand. You're just a child. You don't understand. No, tell me. If you don't tell me, I'll stop chanting and dancing. I guess he was famous for that. And so then she goes, well, and then she started to tell the dream. And Kamalaksha says, you wait, tonight I'll call all the Tirthas to this mountain over here, and they will become waterfalls. You will see. And she just kind of put it aside. She goes, oh, okay, that case, all right. And so that night he meditated, and all the Tirthas did come. And he said, I want you to go on top of this mountain, become waterfalls, and trickle down beautiful lotus from your lotus feet, the transcendental water, so my mother can bathe in them. And they said, well, we're at these places. We can't just come there. He goes, just for one night a year, you come. And so that arrangement was made, and that place is called Panatirtha. I don't know where it is, but I don't know where the mountain is either in Bengal. But anyway, that happened. And at night, the next morning, she came, and sure enough, he blew conch shells and made noise and everything. And all of a sudden, the water started coming down the mountain. And so that was one of the miracles that he performed. And so he was very exceptional, and his father was exceptional too, because he encouraged his son to become scholarly, to become religious, which is very rare. And usually people are worried about, you got to get a job, you got to learn a computer, you got to do this because you're going to get married, you're going to have children. The other night we were at at a program in Ocala at a college, and I go around asking the students what they were studying, and many of them said computer science, and I say, what kind of job are you going to get? He goes, I don't know. There's so many people with computer science now. I don't know. What am I going to do? So most people are worried about that, but Kuvera was more worried about him becoming transcendental and spiritually enlivened. So he sent him to school at a very young age and realized that he was a Shrutidhar. His teachers could say something one time and he could memorize it. Wow, what a great thing to have. And so he was sent to study philosophies. And one day when they were at the teacher was at a lake and they were having classes and everything, and he said, see that lotus way out there? He said, that lotus has a most wonderful fragrance. Who can go out there and get that lotus for me? But he says, that lake is full of black snakes, all kinds of snakes, and it's a very dangerous lake. And they all said, not me. But Kamalaksha said, I can do it. And he went and he walked on top of the lotus flowers and pods to get and pick the flower, and came back and gave it to his teacher. So he was full of surprises. And so then he was sent to study the six different philosophies with the sons of the king, and he became a great pundit himself and was very renowned for his being able to philosophize. And one time they were at a Durga temple, and his father said, pay your obeisances to Durga, because at this time, and even now, the Durga worship is very, very heavy in Bengal. If you go to that big banyan tree shopping area, big huge banyan tree, there's a Durga worship going on under there. If you're on there on a bad day at a wrong time, you might get splattered by the blood when they kill the goat. I know someone who was. So they went to a Durga temple, and he said, bow down, but Dwaita didn't hear it, so he didn't bow down, and then they got in an argument, and his son was explaining to him that you just have to worship, you know, the Supreme Lord. You don't have to worship all these demigods and this and that, and are you pursued? And finally he goes, you know, I shouldn't argue with my father. He's my like my guru. So, yes, father, I will bow down. So he bowed down to the deity of Durga, and immediately the Durga shattered into pieces. And everyone was so surprised because the Durga, she was there, and she was, you know, upset that her master is bowing down to her. So this was another display of his empowerment. Later, he was sent to study the Vedas and achieved that in a very, very short amount of time. And he went back and he took care of his parents who had moved to the Ganges. And they were getting very old. And one day the father approached and said, you know, son, we're in our 90s now. And we will be leaving very soon. And I would like you to do me a favor that when we leave our bodies, please do the proper rites, oblations to Lord Vishnu for us. And he said, oh, of course, of course, of course. And just then, an airplane came and picked up the couple and took them back to Godhead. Of course, only someone like Advaita Acharya could have the eyes to see that happen. And so he went on, he did that duty, and then he went on pilgrimage all in South India, all kinds of wonderful places. And he was very ecstatic at this time, very much feeling love of God, and would display this fantastic dancing that would put us to shame at our age. And he was also displayed his transcendental ecstasies, and he did a lot of preaching at the temples. He even ended up converting the king from worshiping Durga to worshiping, becoming a Vaishnav. And he trained a lot of different people. And he also met his soon-to-become spiritual master, Madhavendra Puri. Madhavendra Puri saw Advaita and was just amazed by it. He could tell that he was very advanced. And they got together, and they spent, you know, hours and hours and hours discussing transcendental topics. And then Advaita Kamaleshtha went on more pilgrimage and ended up in Mathura. And in Mathura, he was, of course, in ecstasy, seeing all the different places of pastimes of Krishna. And then one night he slept and had a dream that a deity came to him. Krishna came to him, Madan Mohan, and said, you know, there was some problem, and I was put in underneath the ground. I was hidden from some trouble that was going to happen. And I would like you to go there and, you know, dig me up and revive the worship. And it's near this little hill. It's called Dwavadicha Dasa, how do you say? Oh, hill. Okay. And so he woke up and got some other people to help him and found the deity. And he made a straw hut and began to start the worship. He got some people, Brahmins, to start the worship. And then what happened then was there were some dacoits. And the dacoits came and thought, oh, we'll just take care of this, take this deity away, and we'll, you know, ruin the temple and everything. And so the deity himself hid himself. He went and found some flowers, places, and he went underneath and spent the night. And meanwhile, the people come back, and the deity's gone. And, of course, Kamalaksha at this time says, well, the deity, he came, and he can also leave if he likes, you know. And so he went to sleep that night, and the deity came in a dream again and said, actually, I hid myself over here underneath these flowers. You know, you can find me. And so he did. And the townspeople came, said, the Didi's gone, the Didi's gone. He goes, no, go look again. And there was a Didi back again. And then he went, let's see what happened next. And then there was more trouble coming. And the Lord had another dream, and the deity came again and said, you know, I'm going to ask you to give myself to one person that's going to come here, and he's going to take care of me because there's danger again. And so his name is Chobi. You should give him the deity to him to worship. He says, I know you don't like this, it's going to be really hard and everything, but he says, in return, I want you to go to Nikunjavana, and you will find a picture there. It's non-different than me. And this was painted by Vishakha herself, one of the eight gopis. And even Radharani has marveled at this picture, how wonderful it is. So, sure enough, the man comes asking for the deity, and he gives the deity Madame Mohan, which is later worshipped by Sanatana Goswami. And so he goes and he finds the picture and goes on pilgrimage more and back to Shantipur, where his house was. And then again, Madhavendrapuri comes. Madhavendrapuri is excited about seeing the Dwaita Kamalesh, and they again have ecstatic reunion. And then Madhavendrapuri offers to initiate Kamalaksha, which of course he's excited about doing. And not that Mahavishnu needs a guru, or you know, the Lord doesn't need a guru, but just to show that position, he accepts him as his spiritual master. And at that time he gives him the name Advaita, that he's non-different than the Supreme Lord. And he also told him to get married and to have children and to raise him, you know, Krishna conscious. And he also said that, I want you to create a picture of Radhika, and you will put that with your picture and you can worship those as your deities, which he did. And then he also did, the most important thing he said was that he told them in the Ananta Samhita that there is a prediction that the Lord is going to come, and he's going to reestablish religious principles, and he will come as Gauranga in the future. So then Advaita gets married to Sita and Sri, two different wives, and with Sita he has many sons. Chutananda is the one that we hear of most of all, but he was actually considered the son of Kartikeya, of Lord Shiva. And then also Krishna Mishra and Gopal Das. These are some of the prominent sons that continued his preaching and was in his same mood. And then a very fortunate thing happened. Haridas Thakur came to this area and was fortunate to meet Advaita Acharya. And Advaita Acharya, even though Haridas Thakur had been more or less rejected, even in the Vaishnavas, some of the Vaishnavas, as you know, you're born as a Muslim, you know, you're not really pure, and so many things like that. But Advaita Acharya recognized him as a very, very advanced soul and took him under his wing. And they studied together and chanted together and discussed the Lord together. And then Haridas Thakur said, I think it's time that I, you know, maybe become a little bit more renounced. And Advaita Acharya helped him find a straw hut to live in and encouraged him in his chanting and encouraged him in his study and to just take shelter of the holy name, just to wear a loincloth, live very simply in this little straw hut. And so he did that. Just about this time, Madhavendrapuri appeared to Sita Thakurani and initiated her in a dream, said that you actually are making all this food stuff and you're distributing so much prasadam, but you need to offer it. So he initiated her. So this was a unique thing. And so Advaitacharya was very frustrated in his preaching because of the influence of Kali Yuga, so many non-religious principles and compromising the Vaishnav scriptures. And so he spent many months praying and worshiping his Shalagram Shila, asking the Lord, his Lord Gauranga, who he'd heard was going to come, to please come now. Please, please come and save the world. And of course, the Lord does come. And they have begin the Sankirtan movement. And then Lord Chaitanya was treating Advaitacharya as his elder, which is what you're supposed to do in the Vedic culture. And Advaitacharya was not comfortable with this. He said, "I'm fallen. I'm your servant. I'm your disciple. I'm fallen." And so he got so uncomfortable with this that he devised a plan, and he did this more than once actually, that he would start preaching to some disciples and followers of different philosophy, a contradictory philosophy, that, you know, that devotional service, that's not so important. Other things are more important. And Mayavadi, and a whole mixture of different things. And the disciples were a little confused, you know, where is this coming from now? And they went and told Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya took on his Nrisingha mode and visited Advaitacharya and got very, very angry and started beating him. And poor Sita Thakarani is going, "He's just an old man, you know, can't go beating him like this." And then finally, Lord Chaitanya starts correcting him in all the different philosophy, and Advaitacharya is just loving it. He's just loving hearing this, and he faints. And then he when he wakes up, he apologizes to Lord Chaitanya, and they embrace, and of course, they go back to the wonderful bhakti devotional service. But this was a little bit of the humility that Advaitacharya had as one of the jewels of his features. So Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda arrives on the scene, and he has quite an unusual relationship with Advaitacharya, but they do a lot of chanting and start distributing Krishna consciousness. But they have this strange way of conversing, and it's also very common in Krishna Lila and Radharani and Krishna, whereas they can have a conversation in a language where the words mean two different things, contradictory things. And it's seeming like when Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya and Advaitacharya were discussing and kind of arguing and kind of putting each other down, that actually it was a glorification, but they had this art of knowing this rhetoric, or whatever you call it, of being able to glorify one by chastising and by putting them down, which is, you know, something it's not very common, but quite amusing. And they did have an amusing relationship. And so this is an ability that only transcendental people can have. And by doing this, they would actually reveal each other's real qualifications and real identity by these conversations. Common to Lord Chaitanya's pastimes is water sports. Sometimes they would all get together. Of course, it's very hot in Bengal and in Puri, where they spend a lot of their pastimes together. And Lord Chaitanya would enjoy, you know, throwing the water, splashing the water, having a good time. And then he would ask Advaitacharya to lay down, or come in the middle, and lay down in the water, and he would get on top of him as Mahavishnu displaying this pastime. And then after some years, Lord Chaitanya, of course, was in Puri at that time, and he would have Jagannanda go back and forth relaying messages of how Sachimata was doing and how Advaitacharya, Jagannanda would visit both of them. And one day, Jagannanda was called by Advaitacharya, and I'm going to read this because I can't tell it very well. Sri Advaita Prabhu then made various arrangements for Jagadananda, and they passed the night discussing Gauranga's transcendental qualities. In the morning, Jagadananda humbly asked Advaita Prabhu's consent to leave. Advaita Acharya then gave Jagadananda a message in equivocal language with an import that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could understand, but others could not. Advaita said, "Gauranga is a treasure of my life. I offer this prayer at his beautiful reddish feet. Please inform Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is acting like a madman, that everyone here has become mad like him. Inform him also that in the marketplace, rice is no longer in demand. Those now mad in ecstatic love are no longer interested in the material world. Tell Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that Advaita Prabhu, who has also become a madman in ecstatic love, has spoken these words." So it was a little sonnet that Jagadananda delivered, and at that time, Lord Chaitanya could realize the import that it was time for him to leave. Just as he was called by Advaita Acharya, now he's getting the indication that he should leave the planet. And of course, this was very difficult when it did happen for Advaita Acharya and all his disciples and everything. And it was a very difficult time, but even more so when Lord Nityananda left. Of course, Advaita Acharya is always preaching and distributing Krishna consciousness. He lived till he was 125 years old, very old, and he raised these nice sons. And then at one time, he called the sons together, and he said that we should have a grand sankirtan, grand kirtan, invite all the greatest Vaishnavas to come. And so many of them did come. And they had a wonderful sankirtan glorifying Lord Chaitanya. And maybe I should read this too. Anyway, I'll read this part. And so they became overwhelmed with this sankirtan, and everyone was ecstasy, and Advaita's hairs were standing on end. "Where is Gauranga, my life and soul? No living entity can display the wonderful mood that was exhibited by Advaita Prabhu." The devotees surrounded the Lord and cried in ecstasy. Then Advaita Prabhu exclaimed, "I found Gauranga." All his hairs stood on end, so that his body resembled a kadamba flower. Then all of a sudden, he entered the temple of Madan Gopal and disappeared from the vision of mundane people. So, just like Lord Chaitanya disappeared into Totan Gopinath temple, Advaita Acharya disappeared. But he was an amazing person in the Panchatattva, the absolute truth in five different features. And he was, of course, the eldest of them all, but he was an amazing preacher and distributor of the absolute truth. And some of his notable qualities that I think of the most is that he was very submissive to his spiritual master. When he met Madhavendra Puri, he completely was submissive and did everything he said to do, even to the greatest of his ability. And he was a great scholar, and he was able to preach and very uncompromising in spreading Krishna consciousness the way it was, and it will be forever. He wasn't affected by all the other things that were going on. And he was also very humble, which is very hard when I guess you're in the position of being Harihara. Has anyone ever been to the temple in the Godrum island? There's a nice deity of Harihara, of Lord Shiva and Vishnu combined together. Do you know where that is? I can't remember. Where? Hari. Yeah, I've been there quite a few times. It's really a very nice, interesting deity to see. Because this was his position. He was Mahavishnu and Sadashiva together. And very, very powerful preacher. And he also was a responsible householder. He showed us how to raise a family very Krishna conscious. And something also, he was very playful. He was very playful, and he was very tricky. When Lord Chaitanya was trying to leave many times, he was attempting to leave to go to Vrindavan, And something always stopped him because no one really wanted him to leave the Navadvipa area. And so one time he was on his way, and Dwaitacharya arranged for someone to go there in a boat. And when he was, Lord Chaitanya was, saw this person, he says, "Oh, this is Vrindavan, this is the Jamuna." And goes, "Well, but what are you doing here? You know, you're supposed to be in Navadvipa. What's going on?" He goes, "Dwaitacharya wants you to come to his house." "Dwaitacharya, what's he doing in Vrindavan?" And so he tricked him, and he came to his house and said, "You tricked me." He goes, no, wherever Vrindavan is, wherever you are is Vrindavan. So he was very playful. There's also that time when Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda were invited to Sita and Dwaitacharya's house, and they said, let's cook lunch for you. Let's prepare lunch. And so he said, "We'll just make some very simple vegetables." And meanwhile, Sita and Dwaitacharya, they make this huge, humongous feast, you know, so many preparations. The Bengalis are fantastic cooks. They can take what's growing outside in the grass and make 35 different kinds of sabjis with it. I've been to a Dwaitacharya's house. There's if you go to the big festival there, they always go there and distribute prasadam. And I got to go inside with Jai Takaswami and honor the remnants. And it's just like amazing, the spread that they have there. It was really very, very transcendental. So anyway, so they come and they sit down, and they bring out mounds of, you know, enough for 30 people, mounds of rices and vegetables and sabjis and everything you could think of. And "I'm sorry, this is just a simple offer we gave." And Nityananda goes, "Yes." He says, "I've been fasting. You expect me to break my fast with this little morsel of food?" So they always had this playful attitude. And then I think that finally they were starting to throw prasadam, and some piece stuck on Advaita, and he was in ecstasy. It reminds me of, actually this pastime reminds me of two things with pastimes of Prabhupada and the devotees, that Prabhupada was with Bhagachi, and they were discussing about how they could cook this nice preparation, that nice preparation. Prabhupada said, I can cook a whole feast in 45 minutes. I can cook like 10, 12 preparations in 45 minutes. Bhagaji goes, "I bet you." He bet a certain amount of money that, "I bet you can't." And so Prabhupada did. He actually got it together and cooked all these different preparations. I guess he paid him off. I don't know. So Prabhupada also had these kind of relationships. And then about the ecstasy of, you know, kind of throwing prasadam and things like that. We were in the mango grove where Prabhupada had lunch one time. And it's a beautiful little place. And we were there with a lot of devotees, and Lokanath Swami and some of his disciples. And we were singing Nadia Godrumi, which is just like fit into the scene. And then everyone started to take dust from the feet of the devotees. Everyone was chasing after the dust and throwing the dust, and then everyone was rolling in the dust, and everyone, it was just like ecstasy, you know. So it was, these pastimes were even going on continually in ISKCON, because we're part of this tree of Lord Chaitanya's, and of which Dwaitacharya was so important. So these are some of the pastimes of Dwaitacharya. His famous statement was that Gauranga is my life and soul. So we can pray as in this prayer that we just chanted, to be so kind to us that we can have this attitude of wanting Gauranga as our life and soul, and to play a small part, a teeny tiny whiny little part in this mission of Sankirtan, of Mahaprabhu. And so we are relying on the kindness of Dwaitacharya. And so we should pray as much as we can to him today and become very devoted to the Panchatattva. We only have a small picture here, but if you go to Mayapur, you'll see grandiose size Panchatattva. So anyone has some questions or comments or additions? Some glorification of Dwaitacharya. There's other pastimes I'm sure I missed. Okay.
Thank you, Mother Akuti. So many pastimes that I never heard before. That was very special. And I heard, and you know, I don't know where that comes from. I heard, and I don't know where that comes from, that the children of Advaita Acharya, they were not all Vaishnavs. Do you have anything?
I don't know the details, but there are three of the most prominent ones that were very religious that Advaita Acharya bestowed, you know, to continue the mission of Lord Chaitanya. Maybe you know about the other ones, the other children of Advaita Acharya. The question was, what of all the different sons of Advaita Acharya? We know three very prominent ones that helped, you know, carry on the mission. What about the other ones? There was some. She had heard that maybe they weren't even so much devotees. Okay.
Chapter 17, Adi Leela. So the good sons are Achyutananda, Krishna Mishra, and Gopal. These are the good sons. Or you can say the most important, Shara. Prabhupada put it. And the other are Ashara. Prabhupada translated as useless. Jagadish, anyway. The reason is they did not accept Lord Chaitanya as origin supreme. They accepted their father, origin supreme. And Advaita Acharya says, no, Lord Chaitanya is my origin. I'm not origin. So some or other, they didn't want to accept. They didn't want to accept. And Advaita Acharya said, according to Prabhupada's purport, that the devotion that they have for Advaita Acharya, that devotion itself will destroy their bhakti. What kind? I mean, that's very scary.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they got cut off from Lord Chaitanya's branch of love of God.
First of all, where were you getting all these pastimes from? What is it called?
Advaita Prakash.
Oh, okay.
Subhag Maharaj translated it.
Who?
Subhag Maharaj.
Okay. Anyway, okay.
Subhag Maharaj. Pundarik Vijayaniti's name is in here.
Yeah. When did you say it's Ben?
Yeah, it's not a bona fide.
It's not a bona fide book.
Printed by ISKCON's ministry.
Does it mean that what you shared is not true? The stories?
By Krishna Mishra, or Buddha Acharya's second son, Krishna Mishra, he's saying, he's feeding Lord Chaitanya.
So how is a classmate? Classmate means he has to be the same age as Lord Chaitanya. I did a lot of digging in information 1 year. And I remember Govinda, Bhakti Bringa Govinda Maharaj. Isn't his name? Ayodhyapati? Ayodhyapati? Yeah, okay. So then they said, no, this is not true. So they banned it. ISKCON group of sannyasis. Then no more reproduction.
So I assume that this was all bona fide. Sorry. Yeah. Yeah. Definitely explains how he's. I could never understand why he was Sadashiva and Mahavishnu together.
Okay, Srila Prabhupada. Oh, I had a question.
Yeah.
Oh. Mahanidhi Swami wrote a book, and in there he described how each of the members of the Panchatattva were a different ashraya. Like Lord Chaitanya is Ras Ashraya, Nityananda is Prem Ashraya, Gadadhar is Bhava Ashraya, Srivas is Nam Ashraya, and Advaita Acharya is Pancharatrika Vidhi Ashraya. Can you explain that? No, you can't.
So you have to say where it's coming from, because Mahanidhi Maharaj is not the ultimate authority for saying that. This is coming from Murari Gupta diary, that class friend of Mahaprabhu. So Pancharati, because on third chapter, Adilila, it says, Tulasi Dalamatrena Jalasya Chulukenava, that verse is there, that Advaita Acharya, how did he invite the Lord Chaitanya? And Prabhupada gave a beautiful purport. In that purport, Prabhupada writes, this is the process in this age Advaita Acharya established, how to invite the Lord. And then if you connect a few pastimes, like when they had a first meeting of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, Advaita Acharya about the preaching mission, how they were going to distribute. His wife, Advaita Acharya's wife, he had two wives, first wife, Sita Thakurani, she was there, and she came out. She said, I can invite the neighbor and talk about Krishna and interrogate this holy name. So that she should get actually big credit for this Namhatta program. And Japataka Maharaj does. Japataka Maharaj, every time he mentioned Advaita Acharya's appearance day, his wife should be glorified also, because that was the first Sankirtan movement outside his house. What was Kirtan going on in his house is okay, but what about the neighbor? His wife started. So that was very nice. So in that sense, that this process in this age of Kali to awaken love for Krishna through the Sankirtan was established by Advaita Acharya in his house at that time. So therefore he is Pancharatri. What is the... There's a two process. One is Bhagavad Vidhi, one is Pancharatri Vidhi. Pancharatri Vidhi means, if I am a Brahmana, my son is automatically Brahman, is eligible. But Bhagavad Vidhi means you don't have to be born in a Brahman family. You can be qualified and get initiated by proper way and do the Brahmanical job. We follow both. We're not against Pancharatri God. We follow both. Because Naradiya Pancharatra is there, the different Pancharatra. We follow those. Those who are... Without initiation, nobody can go to the altar. We agree. So that's Pancharatri. Even though it's like a 2 feet from a meat eater, just ate meat and he can come and stand there, but he cannot get in. Deity worship mostly. Yeah. And Bhagavad Vidhi means, even if you don't do deity worship, you can still go back home, back to Godhead, just by chanting. But we do both. Because I looked at it that way, that if I am a household, if somebody is a householder and he only wants to chant, but how is he going to eat prasadam if he doesn't have a deity? So what Prabhupada did is perfect. The whole system is so perfect. Even though it may not be required, I'm not saying that deity worship is required in this age, but without deity worship, how are you going to offer food to who? So what we have is perfect. Thank you.
Wasn't that Narada Muni's contribution of the Pancharatriki? Yeah. Right. Shri Baba ki jai, Dvaita Chara ki jai.